Hey, what's up? Welcome back to the show. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Yes, you are in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It is going swell.
Swell! That's a good thing to hear. It's been a long time, Carolyn.
So,
I just wanted to start the show with that song. It's been a while. Listen to that.
I noticed that it said Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, that's the song from Ghostbusters 2 that they had.
What made you want to play this?
I don't know. I was just listening to it all of a sudden one day.
One day?
No.
Were you listening to the Ghostbusters soundtrack? Or you're like, man, I need to listen to some Bobby Brown.
I really don't. Yeah, I didn't even know that it was Bobby Brown until I looked it up. It was
so
just,
what are some of his other like major hits?
Because
I don't know much about him.
All
I know is that he's married to Whitney Houston.
I can't really tell you at all what makes Bobby.
And he's like, must have been a crackhead.
But man, but listen to this song. That's a
really
good song,
of, like,
man.
Reminds me of like 90s like goofy movie.
That shit is awesome.
This is like the goofy movie. Who is that star that was in the goofy movie?
I completely forgot now.
His name was like Electric Shock or something. No, it was Powerlines.
Powerline, yeah.
Powerline?
It was Powerline.
This is like Powerline in real life.
Dude, this is good stuff, man. This is pretty motivating.
Who?
Like, you don't really have so. I mean, like, music today, you sort of have like a beat, you know what I mean? It's danceable. But this shit has that sort of like, it feels like you can bob your head and smash to it. This is it.
Wait, too hot to handle, too cold to hold? Isn't that what Macho Man said?
Yeah.
Now, which came first, this song or Macho Man?
I don't know, man.
We need to know.
When did Ghostbusters 2 come out?
I don't know. We'd have to consult IMDb.
So, do we have any, what tour dates do we have going on?
Oh, we have a tour date this upcoming Saturday. July 30th.
Yep. Yeah, so whenever you guys listen to the show, the weekend.
Yeah, we're going to be at DC Zine Fest. We're not going to be recording our radio show, but we'll be there selling, tabling, and I found out we have a full table.
Selling comic book paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia. Whenever I hear the word paraphernalia, it makes me think of like drugs or something.
Because that's what it is. That's
what comic
books are.
We'll be selling comic book drugs.
And I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah. First one's free. Get you hooked.
they just sell themselves. Man, they just absolutely just sell themselves. So it's been pretty cool. Like over the weekend before we're recording this show, I was never at San Diego Comic Con. Never been there. I don't have $1 million to go across country
Why
and do that.
Why do you not have $1 million to go?
I don't know. I spent it on other stuff. I spent it on comic book paraphernalia. But it's always so interesting, like in today's day and age, how like really I don't even have to be there, because I can hear from all about even my dad at one point like contacted me and was like, hey, did you see they have this comic book show that's happening? And I was like, San Diego Comic Con? It's like in the newspaper.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty mainstream now. It's like a major like media outlets report about it.
Yeah,
but the thing is I guess like.
Like
you know,
we usually do the shows on the East Coast, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. I mean we're going to be at New York Comic Con this upcoming New York Comic Con. We're going to be at
and Baltimore Comic Con, Small Press Expo. You know, we keep to the
East Coast pretty well, but
if we can drive to it.
Yeah, I mean it is a hefty toll I think for us to go to San Diego Comic Con, like considering flight and you know shipping our books and you know our whole outlay of the table and banner, you know, it just would seem in my eyes like a lot of money to be there, but it's there's probably a lot of value because you're seeing all those faces and you're being around that type of major exposure, and also like almost every celebrity is there.
Yeah, I mean,
so
that and I think that's mainly why San Diego, which has been going on forever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You know what's funny about like since they've been around for a while, I don't know the whole timeline of San Diego Comic Con, but I remember seeing maybe a couple years ago somebody had really old pictures of San Diego Comic Con, like very old, like
when it was like in a hotel.
Like it was basically like any other regular comic book show.
Yeah,
it was basically guys sitting at a table. Like even the photos looked all old school and stuff. Like I don't remember exactly who was there.
What do you mean the photos looked all
like,
old school?
Like I mean they're like from
like
70s
from the westerns when the eyes are all weird looking because it.
Like and it was all like in sepia.
Yeah. Like wow, this is really old school. Everyone's throwing
like
up
a
like
western.
Or everyone's throwing up like the B-boy stands like from the '80s.
Like I mean they're
everyone
I don't
has
know,
flat tops.
Maybe
and stuff.
Like it was from the '70s. It looked like the photos were, but
yeah.
It was like. I mean, it was just like if you were to look at any other comic book show, but now it's like this huge spectacle and you have like giant Transformers that are three stories tall. You know,
is that what they had there?
Yeah, like I saw like some pictures of the booths. It was interesting though with the internet now, like on, I forget what day it started. I guess maybe like the preview night was Wednesday or something. Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah. I don't remember. But I actually remember like this past week, you know, on the first preview day, somebody had a gallery of photos that was called Setting Up New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
And already had like, and there's no one even on the floor. It's just the booths. Like they're like, look at all the displays.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing. That
Which is actually sometimes my favorite parts of like going to like the big like conventions. I remember when we rolled into New York Comic Con and I felt like, and like we were like the first year we ever went. And we were, like, super early because we just drove all night. And I was like, okay, we'll just take a nap before the doors open, like, at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we got in, like, right at 8 o'clock, in the, around 8 o'clock-ish in the morning after, like, a nap. Or we just went right in. And it was, like, completely empty. You know what I mean? Except for, like, the people who loaded in, like, the day before.
Yeah.
But there was no one there. And I was like, wow, this is actually ultra cool, you know? And it's relaxing. It's actually pretty relaxing before the storm.
Even what's happening with New York Comic Con, you know, that was maybe, what was that, 3 years ago. I mean, I noticed a difference between the first time we went to New York Comic Con and last year. And that was only that's only a difference of 2.5 years.
What was the main difference,
like,
that you were seeing?
More people.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, tremendous. More crowd, more exposure. You know, like, it's becoming, obviously, like, the East Coast Comic Con.
And what's your usually take on that from, like, the beginning stages of, like, cool, it's a convention that, there used to be conventions all over the place, right?
Yeah.
But now then you have these massive conventions.
I mean, it just makes sense for, especially with San Diego Comic Con, it really does make sense for Hollywood to, take over.
Can you sort of pinpoint when that happened? I'm trying
to
think
movies,
of...
The movies, like the, you know, I don't know the full
like
timeline,
like when X-Men came out and
like
stuff
Spider,
like that?
Like the Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man-ish... time, I
guess. Was there that moment? Because for me, like when I first realized, like, oh, San Diego and these Comic Cons are getting pretty massive, pretty much was like the same time I really started to get into the TV show Firefly. And this was like probably in like 2005.
And now there's this whole, like, you know, what we were talking about last week with geek girls, there's this whole like geek culture. And it's not just girls, it's everybody. I mean, like, Nathan Fillion has his own, like, you know, fan entourage, or Kevin Smith's entourage, you know, like all these certain people are becoming a name value within the geek crowd.
Yeah.
Like even like Joss Whedon, like, I mean, there's probably about 10, or Neil Gaiman, there's probably about like 10 people you can name that are kind of household names, at least in like people that appreciate this type of stuff, you know, like, and they're actually like creators mostly, you know,
I think it is,
and they're writers.
It is the creators' place, you know, it's a creator's home.
Yeah, so
not home or place, but it is a place where you can, I guess, you can be one with the fans, you know, you can be there.
You know, like on one hand, like this year I didn't really, you know, I didn't go online much this weekend, so I didn't have the opportunity of like totally looking at every single San Diego Comic-Con update.
Yeah.
But I do remember last year being like tied to Twitter, working at the same time, and seeing everyone's update, and it really did feel like I was there. And like, I even felt like I was there this year, you know, halfway tuning in.
Yeah.
The reason why I halfway tuned in is because honestly, I didn't want to get too involved, because I did get a small bit jealous to be like, oh my God, like everybody I'm following on Twitter is there. You know, it kind of makes you feel like you're like left out. I did see a couple other people that didn't, you know, a couple, not everyone went.
Because you can hear the stuff like from, even from Raina, from Smile, with her winning like the Eisner, like to me, like when I heard that, that was like huge.
Yeah, that was
because
actually, that's like, because
she was
awesome
on our panel, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, like,
and
I
also Jimmy was. I almost think that everyone that was on the other side of the panel from New York Comic Con was there. Were they?
Was Brian Glass? I'm not sure if he was there, I'm not sure about Carla Speed McNeil as well, but we can check on that. But yeah. I guess also like with like certain people, I wasn't like jealous. I was more like, oh my God, that's awesome, go for it, you know, like, I guess more of like from the creator's side, I was like, that's awesome, this person won an Eisner, and like this person won an Eisner, you know, and I was like, I kind of know these people, so like, that's awesome for them, and I felt like nothing but positivity. But from a fan perspective, I felt jealousy. Like, you know, not like hardcore, like, I'm jealous, I'm going to turn into the
Hulk.
But that's such a crucial thing for
people.
But from a fan, I was like, I want to be there. That's so awesome. This person got to, like, see Andrew Garfield.
What was something that you're like, man, I wish I was there to see this?
I mean, When I heard about the, like, Andrew Garfield... Now, did you hear about this? He dressed up
no,
as...
No, no, tell me about this Andrew Garfield.
Okay, he's going to be the new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess they had a panel about it, and he went
the Sony panel, yeah.
And he went up to the microphone dressed as actual, like, some lame Spider-Man outfit. It was some, like, one that you buy, like, for Halloween. Yeah.
Andrew Garfield from The Social Network, yes, who played this, yeah.
And then he, like, you know, he's like, I have a question. And he, like, took off his mask, and everyone was like, oh my God, it's Spider-Man. You know, like, it's really him. But, like, you know, I actually saw somebody live tweet, you know, or whatever, somebody I'm following was live tweeting from that.
So that's really
cool. Like, it happened, like, at the moment. And it was cool to, like, see her, you know, impression. That's when I started getting a little bit jealous, because I was like, oh my God. Like,
you're like, I wish I was there.
Like, I wish I was there. But then also from, like, a day later perspective, it's kind of just like, I mean, that's cool. But it, like, also seeing people's photos and stuff, it's almost like, it's cool. I don't really have to be there now, no, but you guys covered it for me.
But see, that's what I think is crucial about, like, San Diego or conventions in general, is to feel like there's a happening. There's something, an angle happened. You know what I mean? And this just, that was the first, like, that was one of the first things that, the first stories I ever heard coming right out of San Diego Comic-Con was the appearance of CM Punk.
Yeah.
We know we can't go out, we can't have a radio show without CM Punk.
I know,
being
right?
Mentioned. But that was the first thing, and it was completely...
Actually, yeah, that was one of the first things I heard.
That was completely out of nowhere, because someone all of a sudden just tweeted, like, CM Punk crashed Comic-Con. Well, that was, holy crap! You know, that to me was something that exactly had to happen, that is the perfect place to happen. Like, for me, CM Punk has gone viral like that, you know?
Yeah, like, I honestly did kind of have a feeling that that was going to happen, because Punk tweeted something like...
I mean, he was going there.
Something like,
he was there.
Time to party at San Diego. And I was like, oh, he's probably going to go to Comic-Con. And then,
how he's going to show up is what's cool.
But then he invaded, like, apparently they had a WWE Mattel panel or something. What are they talking about? Toys or something?
Because Mattel, they're the one who makes their action figures.
Yeah, that's the action
figures. They're going to cross-promote, you know?
Okay.
It's like, they're not just going to go there and be like, oh, we're wrestlers here. It's like, at least you're selling toys that people will buy, stuff like that.
Huh. So did they actually have, like, a WWE match or anything?
Cause no, they. I
remember
they
TNA was there, like, the year before, and they did something off-site.
I think TNA was there this year too.
But last time, I think they did something at, like, Hard Rock Cafe or something. It was off-site.
But to me, that was the first thing that was really the first big news I heard out of. Actually, that to me,
CM
all of a
Punk.
Sudden, that was the biggest news of there. It's not even.
That's
when you first told me that. You're like, that's not even comic book related. But, like, CM Punk crashing,
like,
the panel, like. That's really what needs... That's why people go to those panels. That's why I want to go, is to see what happens. Like, even when Joss Whedon was doing his, like, Spotlight on Joss Whedon, like, last year's panel, like, he... Nathan Fillion did a... what's it called? He did a... He pulled what Andrew Garfield did. Like, he dressed up as, like, a nerd and stuff like that. And then, you know, and then no one knew it was him, because no one's really looking at those... No one wants to look at the interviewer or the people who are asking the questions.
Yeah.
I assume. I do, but... And then all of a sudden, Joss Whedon's like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Fillion. And then you see him slowly take off his whole disguise.
Yeah.
And all the crowd's like, holy shit! Oh my God! Holy shit! Oh my God!
What's amazing about that,
And then Joss Whedon's like, and he's playing Ant-Man! And then it doesn't get confirmed.
But what's amazing about that, too, is, like, they go around, like, the celebrities go around looking like normal people, and people don't give a shit about them. But then,
like,
as soon as they take off their, you know, their disguise, then
soon as they get into character.
Yeah. But, I mean... Even, like, not to trash the Andrew Garfield thing, because I will admit, when I first heard the live tweeting about it, I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty awesome. But then, like, a day later, I was kind of like, man, you know, that's kind of, like, expected now. You know, it seems like, because even I heard, who's the guy that was in the Star Wars?
But,
Hayden Christensen.
But really, it's...
There was, like, I guess maybe 2 or 3 years ago, he was running around, like, the actual floor of the convention just trying to check out stuff.
Yeah.
And he was dressed like a stormtrooper. Because, like, I mean, honestly...
I thought that was Rob Pattinson.
No, but I guess before Rob Pattinson, it was the guy from Star Wars. He was doing that even before. Because that's the only way they can really go out and enjoy stuff, is to actually dress like a stormtrooper so no one recognizes them. So next time you're at a convention and you see a stormtrooper... checking out your books, man, that who knows who that could be? That could be Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta just be nice to everyone. And also, I feel like those are the things that make conventions, like, special. You know what I mean? Really, it's for the people who are there live.
Surprises.
Sure, you can expect things to happen, But, you know, sometimes they never do happen. You really don't know what's going to happen. And also, that's the one cool thing about when you're at a convention. Like, I know probably there's a whole majority of people that are like, oh, conventions, like, that's a nerd thing, or like any, whatever, any of those girls, something like that. But it's like, once you're there, like, word of mouth is pretty, that word of mouth is crazy there. Like, I remember, you know, when you're just like, oh, something's happening, you know, when word of mouth, oh my God, this person showed up there.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's such a great feeling. And that's like this live, like almost a live viral feeling that really happens.
Another funny thing is a lot of people were tweeting that the guy from 30 Rock was there.
He's at every single convention. Yeah. He's here right now. He's mixing the show.
He's right here in the studio apartment. Like, but like, you know, that guy, I guess he gets around to like every single comic book convention. But stuff like that.
What
like,
is he looking
like,
for? He must have every, there must be this one thing that that guy can't find that he has to go to every convention.
Maybe he's just really into it. But like, it's pretty amazing though too, like just to hear people's, or like read people's tweets about it. And like, actually, like it felt like I was there just from hearing all that stuff. But the, another cool thing that I wish I did go to, which made me envious, was the Steven Spielberg and Peter Jackson panel.
Oh, I didn't even know they had a panel.
Yeah. So I guess word didn't get around.
See, that's tough. See, that's tough. There's so many things happening. But, I remember that's what the description was before. It's like announcing something at San Diego Comic-Con is like, you know, again, like a needle in a haystack type deal. It's like, well, there's a million other things that are being announced too.
Yeah. And I heard also that the Twilight stars brought breakfast for their fans.
Yeah, and all the Twilight stars, you know what I mean? It's like the place to be.
I mean, I haven't gotten into Twilight kind of on purpose, just because I'm like, I don't really need another thing to get into. And
but
like, I just don't really want to.
But just,
you know,
like Lady Gaga, we don't listen to Lady Gaga, but we know that they're huge.
Yeah, we know. I know of Twilight. I know all the actors. But I just, you know, I haven't forced it on myself. No hardcore reason. It's just almost like so oversaturated, I guess. If that was the reason I would give, it'd be like, I don't really want to get into something that's already so oversaturated.
Yeah, but at this point, it's, they don't need us.
Yeah,
it's
oh,
not
no,
like they need
man.
Us. But like, there's this massive, but it's, I feel it's incredible that it's even still, because I remember hearing about Comic-Con before even hearing about them. Like, that's actually how I heard about Twilight, was hearing about the moms and daughters at the Comic-Con. And I'm like, about a book? This has a movie, and like, you know what I mean? How it was getting so massive. And I think at that point, I was like, okay, this thing's going to be out of control.
Yeah. But also another thing about Twilight, and not to dish it, because I know a lot of people, a lot of people really love to dish it. And speaking of dishing Twilight, the zombie book.
Yeah.
Which one is that? The Walking Dead?
The zombie book.
Yes, thank you. I'm like, The Walking Dead.
I was
Dead.
Like, Marvel Zombies? What is this?
There's so many to choose from. But the Walking Dead, I heard that they're doing this like Sparkles for Blood campaign.
Oh yeah?
Did you hear about that?
No.
At Comic-Con? Basically, if you trade in a Twilight book, they give you Walking Dead.
Oh, that's cool.
So Sparkles for Blood.
But just so one whole giant Twilight book, and then you get a,
I guess you get, I don't know, I don't know the
issue,
rules, but
you get
like a Walking Dead book. So that was pretty interesting, like that whole takeover.
What other big surprises happened out of,
I mean,
that was the
it
one
seemed
thing.
Like
it wasn't,
this year
it wasn't
there wasn't
massive?
Anything hardcore, but also like a lot of the studios pulled out this year.
Yeah.
So they didn't, because it's kind of like people are calling it the Scott Pilgrim Comic-Con curse. Like they don't want to.
What's that? Describe that.
They don't want to be like, yeah, I guess Scott Pilgrim was featured last year and everyone thought that was going to be the shit. They were like, this is going to blow up the world. Scott Pilgrim. And like it didn't live up to the hype.
Well,
you know, I mean, it wasn't a bad movie or anything. It just.
Well, I also felt like what you were talking about before. Was it wasn't just that, because it was probably everyone who went to Comic-Con and everyone who was at Comic-Con, they were already going to see the movie. So you brought up before that it's like, well, you already had that audience in your pocket,
yeah.
But it didn't grow. You're not growing the audience either.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things like we've mentioned before, like with Scott Pilgrim.
You know, one thing I did see a lot of, everyone that I saw around their what was it called, like the badge, the necklace badge thing,
pass,
the pass, it was supported by Dexter.
Oh yeah.
Because Dexter was all over that
on the lanyards.
Yeah
I've heard that, like, even the local hotels, you know, the You think I a guess lot of the people pass go, you have to get into your hotel, you your little swipe key, they actually had the special swipe keys.
Was that Dexter on it?
It wasn't Dexter necessarily, but some upcoming movie or something was spotlighted, or even inside the elevators of each hotel this were sponsored by different sponsors.
Basically, what we have on our hands is the Olympics. Olympics for sci-fi, you know?
Or not necessarily sci-fi. But
the Olympics for, I don't even, how would you classify
what
this is now?
See, but then people say geek culture, and I don't know, man. People are, like, embracing that term, but, like, as
well,
I said last week.
It's not going to work anymore. You can't be a geek. Geek is always, it's still a minority term. If it becomes a majority, it can't be a minority term.
See, but
they're holding on
to,
like.
I just never use that term, like, it's geek culture. You know, I just don't do it. I don't know what to call it, but I just call it Comic-Con fans.
Because, like, when it came down to it, when we were reading books and when we were looking at stuff, we didn't look at, because if it's geek culture, to me, that almost feels like a person who's out of the geek culture is like, yeah, I want to be a geek. But see, if we were already in there and we weren't calling ourselves a geek, then I don't feel like the name really attaches to people
that
were like the originals. That were like the ECW originals, you know?
Yeah, I personally don't know what to call it, but I just call them people who go to Comic-Con.
Them people?
Yeah, like Comic-Con people.
But
you
like,
know,
I don't
comic need, fans.
I mean, that's the closest thing they can market
but
it, though.
The
that's
thing
the only
also
way I feel
is like with Twilight.
But do you think? I mean, everyone's going to call themselves a geek in some place. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
We talked about that last week. But like, you know, with Twilight, it really does seem like though that a large percentage of the whole Comic-Con audience just went to see Twilight.
Really? Was that how much?
I mean,
really?
I don't know. I don't have the figures and facts and tabulations.
Yeah.
But it just seems to me that maybe at least 10% of the entire crowd, which is actually a lot, I feel like at least just came to see Twilight.
I mean, to tell you, yeah.
So, I mean, like on one end of it, I'm like, that's awesome for them. Like, that's good that they have such a great fan base. But then on another hand, I'm just like, well, those people couldn't give a shit about, like, Artist Alley or something like that.
And I mean, that's the one thing I heard about the convention or the comic book scene over there in general, is that there weren't really, like, it was flat sales or there's not a lot of people that were looking at comics and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually never even saw a shot of Artist Alley or the comic book section at all.
That's good that you bring it up. Like, I didn't see any shot of Artist Alley.
Like, I really don't even know how it looked like or where it was.
I saw Jimmy Palmiotti
all I saw was
tweeted
Legos.
A couple times that he said, like, Artist Alley is dead scene. Or, like, maybe not, he didn't declare it dead, but he said that the scene, the view of Artist Alley looked like things were dead, like ghost town-ish.
So that's
isn't that what he, like, he didn't use the word ghost town, but he basically said, like, look, it looks dead around here.
I mean,
at
like,
one point.
That's sort of like it's, and also I hear, like, from what he tweeted before, he said, like, one of the common phrases that people, that professionals were saying was, like, they're not going to do it again next year.
So, you know, I mean, maybe that might open door to other people who might have never had the opportunity to go to San Diego that have always been pigeonholed out of it. So, because I always hear that a lot of people try to keep their space. Like, there's people that's been there for 15 years that just try to keep their space so that they can keep going to Comic-Con. And, you know, if you think about it, if you're somebody that's been there for 15 years, you can see a major change.
It actually sort of makes me wonder how they do promote the Artist Alley section of the San Diego, if they even have a promotion.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know how well it's promoted, and I don't know the floor map, but I just know everyone's like Hall H or whatever. Or what
yeah,
is
like
the Hall?
Yeah, Hall H, like the big.
Like that's what I always hear about. So, I mean, maybe they should just, and they, the other term that I have heard besides geek culture is like counterculture con or not, sorry, not counterculture, pop culture con.
That sounds
so
fair.
Like that
know?
Sounds like
pop
more
pop con.
Yeah, but you know, like it's a hard debate because on one end it's like, wow, all these people like could be exposed to comic books and comic creators, you know, but then you really do stray far from the term Comic-Con when you're looking down the list and you're seeing, you know, no offense, Dexter.
Well, it just grew. I feel like it is something that grew in the pop. A lot of people are going to fight it, but it's like how do you fight money and progress?
Yeah.
It's like you can't really just be like, no, we got to hardcore keep it like that. Because to tell you the truth, what is a comic convention really? It's just like back issues and artists.
And the, yeah, you,
you know what I mean? How do you
artist.
Grow? It's like it's interesting how that grew out of that. You know what
but
I mean?
But maybe there might be a way to like, maybe Comic-Con
and also the panels
can do
are the best
this.
Part. Really, the at the conventions for me, like, that's what I want to see is the panels. I want to hear these people talk, and I want to see them in person. You never really get a chance to see that in person. And that's always pretty fun, you know? But now they expanded it to like movies and stuff like that. And
I mean, that's what people want to see.
Professional wrestling. Yeah, of course. It's a beautiful thing.
But maybe what I'm thinking is that maybe Comic-Con can... I feel like they've already went, you know...
It's really dependent on what comes out, right?
Yeah. I mean, based on the reaction from what people have saying, if the people are like, oh, I'm not going to come back next year and stuff like that. And it's already kind of hit the brink, like hit a wall up against comic book creators, I feel like. So, like maybe there's something Comic-Con can do to focus on like actual creators or like doing some type of creator spotlight. Like maybe they can have like a special, like, you know, when I know when they, I know they really do promote really hard, but maybe like instead of like pushing TV shows down everybody's throat, maybe like, you know, focusing on certain creators leading up to the convention and doing
but those more TV show guys are creators too at the same time.
No, but I'm also comic book related, so that you get that crowd, you get the TV crowd involved with picking up a comic book.
See, it's really what's crazy is that like,
because like, let's be honest about it, if you were to do a actual 100% honesty poll of people who attend people who attend San Diego Comic-Con, do you think that those people read at least one or two titles of comic books?
I'm probably going to say like 70 or 45%.
70 or 45. What? That makes no sense. Like what does that mean?
I think like at this point, everyone knows what's happening at San Diego. You are going to see these, TV shows, and you are going to see these movies, and you are going to see comics. That's how it grew. Almost like what I see coming from it is, again, the pushing down of the medium of comic books. You know, like, it's like they took advantage of like, oh, cool, we're using your properties, but we're going to elbow you out of the coolness part of it. You know, we're going to shove you out. Again, make almost like a comic book oppression, how it's not cool enough. Just like how in the Goofy movie, they were just like made the geeky guys look all like ultra nerdy with their weird science books. But of course, it's like another moment of like, so you're saying movies are cooler than comics? Well, I almost fight that all the time. I feel like a lot of people, almost in a sense that I feel like they look down upon me for writing comics, but then whenever I talk about movies, they're like, oh, movies, you do movies too. And it's like, well, I write comics as well, and I put 200% into I put in more effort I do in my comics than sometimes my movies, and they're like, oh, whatever, you know?
There's a more glamorous aspect when you go around saying, I make movies.
Because there's a glamorousness.
I'm a filmmaker.
There's a glamorousness of, like, the Hollywood aspect.
Yeah, and I think Comic-Con, though, does a good job of just doing it from a creator's perspective.
Yeah.
So maybe if there's a way to, like, bridge that gap, like, maybe if people attended a Twilight panel, like, maybe they could give out, like, I know this might cost money, but maybe they could give out a certain comic that might attract the Twilight crowd.
They do have a Twilight comic.
I know, but, like, besides a Twilight comic, like, I don't know. Maybe this is just, I'm just brainstorming off the fly here. I haven't really thought about it until now. I'm trying to think of a solution to, like, bridge the gap so it's not just, like, Hollywood versus comic books.
I think it's, I perfectly think it's too late at this point. Like, there's
no
way.
I mean, it is too late, but like I said, they've hit a wall. Like, it's kind of like there's no breaking the wall at this point. Like, unless there is a solution.
That's the solution, is to move, you know what I mean? And just absolutely make it Hollywood Con.
But then you can't just turn your back on Hollywood. It's kind of like everyone has to work hand in hand. Like, comics needs Hollywood, and Hollywood needs comics.
This would be a good experiment. What if they just do that?
Turn their back?
I mean, they can't exactly turn their back, but they'll FedEx office it.
See, but this is...
That's what's going to happen.
But
you know
that's
what
already
Kinko's,
is happening
Kinko's
if,
FedEx.
Like, if, like, creators are like, I might not come back this year.
Yeah, but how much money are they paying compared to the Universal and MGM and all this stuff
But like I said, there's always going to be another artist or another creator to come fill their table.
They're like, oh, you're leaving? Well, I'm in here. Yeah. You know, because there's already a waiting line. There's already... The tickets to register for next year are almost already
People were already applying for Artist Alley, like, their forms already.
It's tough.
So it's like, that's probably already full for next year.
Like,
so.
All I can envision is that just you get a bigger venue and you just let society fight it out for what they really like. Because at the end of the day, it's like, well, I mean, we don't even know what movies are going to be going on after. Because I always sort of prophesize, when is the end of the superhero movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be the end after Superman Returns, because I thought that was going to be a great ass movie. I was like, well, you begin with the icon, end with the icon. But now it's like, what happens after Dark Knight Rises?
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, but like that's what I'm saying is like.
Does Darkwing Duck get his own?
But see, that's what I'm saying. What happens? Really, what's going to happen is you're going to keep shitting on the properties enough, right? Well, you're going to have the real good movies. You're going to have the real good ones, like Avengers. If that's gold, it's going to keep going. You know what I mean? You're always going to have that genre as long as you have people with a computer doing digital effects. It's always, and also that's what's amazing about today is that you know back then when we're making Darkman and stuff, you know, like in the 90s. When the indie comic boom and stuff like that was happening, you know, people were wishing that we can actually have a Spawn that looked better than how the movie came out. And now it's like we're doing wish fulfillment. We're like in a wish fulfillment world. You know what I mean?
Well, I just wish there was like a way that more, you know, like I said, what is that question about like, you know, give your honest opinion. Like what I wish... No one would really love to do this, but I really wish like in the beginning of Comic-Con when everyone's in line... In the beginning of Comic-Con, when everyone's in line, like, do a survey to be like, what comics do you read? Do you even read comics? You know, like, most people probably don't, or like, you know, they might have picked up a few in their lifetime, but I have a feeling it's not to that high level that you think that everyone's a big comic book reader.
Because I was watching a interview with ProWrestlingFigures.com, I think, ProWrestlingFigs, and they were interviewing Kelly Kelly. And they were like, welcome to Comic-Con. So who's your favorite, do you have like a favorite like superhero or a comic book? And you can blatantly see on her face, she's like she has that nervous smile and that she's Batman. You know, yeah. Like it's like if you like, you know, I mean, there's that honesty right there.
Yeah, but
that's,
I mean,
Kelly Kelly. She doesn't swear to be a big comic book fan at all.
But I guess what I'm saying is that, like, let's be honest. Probably a lot of people that attended Comic-Con don't read comics. Let's put them in that pile.
But let's be honest. Let's be honest. To the second level, it's like no one would go to a Comic-Con if there wasn't something happening.
Yeah.
And that's the main reason. Really, yeah, you can go for the comics, but you go for conventions. If you go to conventions and stuff, one, to meet the artists, and I mean, even sometimes to meet the artists, but it's back issues and to buy stuff. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be like what? Like a, what's it called? Like a flea market of comic books.
Or even
books.
Just like an experience, just to be like, hey,
no,
I
but
was
like,
here.
We're talking about like comic conventions, just ones that you have at the Doubletree, like stuff like that. You're looking for back issues. But when you go to the San Diego or New York, you're looking for something to happen. But if nothing, I say when this all goes down, that's when nothing's happening.
See, I guess what I'm saying is that I wish there was a way to make those people actual fans of comic books, at least if they pick up like one or two titles, you know?
Probably.
Like, I guess what I'm saying
is
that...
First, are they into reading?
Like, you know, I know that they've been trying free comic book day.
To grow the audience.
To grow the audience. And, like, you know, everyone comes in, what is it, the first Saturday in May.
Which is a good way to get the younger kids.
Yeah, and get,
for the
like,
future.
People coming in. And,
but, like, those younger kids in the future are going to go to the conventions, and then they could grow the audience.
So maybe it's an over-the-time thing, but I just am saying maybe Comic-Con should do something like free comic book day. Like, have a little section, maybe even, that they just have free comic books.
Like,
I mean, it might be get crazy, but...
Like, I think that's going to be, like, a riot. For me, personally...
Or maybe they can give away books that are, like, damaged. You know, like, sometimes people might have a bad shipment of books.
But do you think
that's
that'll
all
just,
dented?
Do you think
just
that'll
give
just
them
look,
away.
Do you think it'll just... But that'll make it look bad, though? Like,
I don't know.
What's it called? The Salvation Army of Comics will show up?
I don't know what to say about that. I'm just trying to think of a way to get those people, like...
Tell them to go to New York Comic Con.
To actually read a comic.
That's it. Like, to me, I don't... To me, like, you're gonna get... To me, it's perfect, like, how it is now. Because... East Coast is away from Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do they really want to travel over there? So they get the... And also, it's in New York. And I feel like New York is like the culture hub. So you do sort of get...
It's Will Eisner Town.
Yeah. So you do sort of get those two sides of the world, which makes it pretty interesting. You know what I mean? You get like... This is that level. And of course, Hollywood, you know, it's a bunch of fakes. So they're going to make it look appear and glamorize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it wasn't Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian there last year.
I don't know. They
I was
could,
like,
they could
I was
be anywhere.
Like,
they could show
I was like, a little bit. That I was like, that, you know, they can be anywhere.
Whatever.
You know, who cares? If they want to be there, have a good time, that's fine. But, you know, a small part of me was like, okay.
No, I mean, like...
that's pushing it.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, let anyone come.
Yeah,
come
I mean,
out.
That's true.
Anyone is a possibility. But at the same time... It's sort of like, as long as you... There's certain... I feel like if you're gonna... It's like it's obvious that San Diego, everyone's gonna be like, oh, that's just for movies and stuff. Why not? That is
the movie
comic book side. Comic books are New York Comic Con, East Coast side.
I'm not against
One side surfs. One side doesn't even go in the water.
Yeah.
You know, those are those differences. One side's cultural hub is hard, and they live in like a city that's so close. The other side is far apart, and you drive. I mean, of course, there's going to be those big differences.
Opposites.
And I almost like those opposites because it's like, well, why am I going to go over there?
See, but that's not what I'm comparing. I'm just trying to figure out a solution to get all those people that went to San Diego to just pick up a couple books.
Well, you have the books there. They're already there. You can't. What are you going to do in the downtime? You'll be like, I can go outside or I can go look at these comics. They're already there. If they're really good, I feel people are going to check them out.
But how many people do you think made their way over to Artist Alley? Because there's like a lot of cool
stuff
there.
I didn't see it, but all I know is there's panels happening at all times.
I can guarantee you, though, if like everyone was to just spend probably 15 minutes in Artist Alley, there's got to be at least one thing that everyone would like.
I don't know. Maybe that's something they should do with the panels. Maybe they should have big time people in the Artist Alley section. Maybe like the panels be like, say like, okay, now I'm going to be in Artist Alley. But the thing is this, Artist Alley is made up of like, like independent or artists mm-hmm. that are themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But those artists can still show up at like another booth, like a technical booth.
To do like a signing.
So there's actually two differences there. You know what I mean? Like there's booths there that are like, you can have big lines. But then the people don't go into the Artist Alley because they just don't know. Or they can be like, well, he's already going to be over here. You know what I mean?
It's true.
So it's almost like, in a sense, I feel like it's this marketing. It's more marketing.
Marketing. A lot of people throwing around that term, though.
It's all
like
about...
everything is marketing.
Everything is marketing. Everything really is marketing. Even though it's... I mean, like, people don't want to use the word marketing. But at the same time, it's... what, you know, what's your genre? Or how do you draw? And how... It's really marketing, I feel like, how do you get attention?
But it's like...
let's market yourself to get attention.
It is kind of crazy, though, how, like, you can have Rob Pattinson or somebody, and then, like, have 50 really good artists in one room, but then as soon as Rob Pattinson walks by, like, no one gives a shit. Like, they're just like, oh, it's Rob Pattinson. He's sparkling.
Well, also,
you know, like, like, it's just funny how, like, one celebrity can overshadow a whole room.
Because celebrityism is marketing at the same time. You know what I mean? Because it's like you're put in that position to be a marketing tool. And if he's not working, I mean, if the marketing is not working, if no one's looking at him, no one's going to fucking want to watch that movie.
Yeah.
And How do we use that to get people to read more comics? I think that's what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah, I guess people need more booth babes or something. Well, but dude, did you see those pictures though? I saw one gallery of somebody that put on Facebook. It was called like the Sexy Women of Comic-Con. They already uploaded all their photos.
I need to check it out.
And but I swear to you, and I'm not against women dressing up like that, but how are they dressing? There was a few that was practically might have been naked.
Why weren't they they weren't allowed to be naked?
There was some that had body paint on that was like only covering not much. Like they had little pasties on around their nipples and then like a small thong and that was all. Everything was like body painted.
What were they?
They weren't even anything. Like one, she just had a snake painted around her and one girl was just painted like a tiger.
I think maybe that's what
it was very sexy. I mean, don't get me wrong. Those girls look great and it takes a lot of guts to go around like walking around practically naked. But I was just like...
I figure if they've paid for those implants or they worked out in that hard-ass shape...
I don't know,
they might as well, right?
Hey, yeah, you might... I mean, I'm not downing them, but it was almost like a small bit like shocking that was like, wow, you actually walk around like that in front of a whole Comic-Con crowd. It wasn't just like, hey, let's wear a sexy cat suit. It was just like, I'm naked.
But see...
Like, I was like, damn.
Like, I feel like...
There's naked women walking around.
But this is what I hear.
Hot, naked
women. Is one thing that I like. Imagine this is almost like Comic-Con in a sense. It's almost like a festival. It is a festival. But I feel like the audience, I would actually rather go to this audience than say go to like even like if it was an HF festival or something or with those, that type of crowd.
Well,
because
they're
a girl,
just getting drunk.
But also, they're just getting drunk and a girl can't go over there and walk around scantily clad without being like attempted rape. So I feel like as long as the crowd stays friendly and stays nice, I think it's a great place to be, because like I feel like
I'm just saying
to the point
people
that
people are pushing their limits more and more now.
But like as long as there's not like just drunken assholes, because that would ruin it all. If all of a sudden like people are just selling beer and just getting drunk and Comic-Con just fucking up everyone's shit, that would just ruin it so bad. Yeah. And that's what I like about, if this is a geek culture, if it is like a nerdgasm all over the place, at least these guys are nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like them to keep being nice to each other and
at least
enjoying
stuff.
And also
this year, no one stabbed each other with a pen in the eye.
Yeah,
like
no,
last
for,
year.
For the... The, what's
there
it
was
called?
No controversy as far as what I heard.
Yeah.
Just like crowds, you know, like the typical expected crowds, but there was no controversy.
But as long as it's not like really, because I hate that when just drunk assholes just, they'll just
ruin
it.
But you're more
people.
Talking about like some rock show that at a huge stadium.
No, but see, but this is what it's becoming though. We're now like at that equivalent level. If you have 93,000 people going to New York Comic Con, probably twice as many at a San Diego, you're getting to that. You're breaching that level of like, all right, this is a fucking full on festival here.
So what can we do to get people to look at our books? Do we need to like be naked at our booth?
No, because at this point it's been done. Because that's.
I mean, but I just don't know how to compete with Rob Pattinson and a naked girl.
Well, you don't. You don't compete. You exist on a totally different level.
I need to just find another way.
No. But like, I don't know. I'm not perfect at marketing. I'm not like a genius at anything. But I feel like it's finding your audience.
Yeah.
And it's getting people to understand it. And the thing is, though, is that I feel when Twilight came out, that hit that market, that audience that was lacking something.
Well, that's what the girls
already.
Wanted, you know? Like
they didn't have that hero. They didn't have that drama.
I mean, also, it's like, okay.
Buffy was done.
One girl that, you know, looks pretty average, and she doesn't wear too much makeup, and she seems like pretty accessible. And like
the everyday girl.
The everyday girl that, you know, she's not that intimidating. And then she has like two guys that are like hot in their own way, you know, I guess if you're into those type of guys, you know, like,
so this is again, it's wish fulfillment,
two different looking type guys that are hot that like her. And then, you know, she gets to pick. I don't know, I haven't seen the movie or read the book, but it just seems like, you know, that if I was 15, you know, I don't know if I can guarantee that I would be into that, but it does seem like that type of fantasy for a teenager,
and even
beyond that, I've mentioned before that like I know people that are over 30 that are really into it, and it's almost like scary though, because like, it's like, does your boyfriend not satisfy you or something?
But like really, like, at the end of the day, I understand why girls like that, like just the typical girl. It's like, look at those two guys. Yeah, that seems like, I mean, none of them are Johnny Depp, but they're all, one dude's without a shirt and one dude is brooding. It's like, whoa. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, they did that already in Buffy, and yeah, they probably already did it in many other like tormented like love stories and stuff like that. But again, that formula works. That just formula just works. And that's what today people need.
And then guys get into it, cuz then they're like, "Oh, I'm going to take this girl to see Twilight,"
because they want
to
take, like, that opportunity.
They get that
to get into the pants. They want to get into that Twilight panties.
Yeah,
you know, and they're like, "Yeah,
they're
I'm
like,
on
I'm
team.
In, I'm into. Him
I'm
too.
On team Edward. Now come sit on my face." You know what I mean? Like, I can see like message boards of like, I wonder if there's a website out there that says like how to use Twilight to get into a girl's pants.
I bet that's out there.
It's like role playing. It's like, okay, guide. I'll be Edward.
I bet there's been a guy out there that has put sparkle spray on him and been Edward for a girl's
all
fantasy.
He has to do is do that soap bomb, right? The with the what's it called?
Yeah,
glitter soap bomb.
The glitter ball bomb. Bath bomb.
Yeah. So any other?
No, but not even that. They have spray glitter that you can get at like a craft store.
Jeez,
I can
lame.
Guarantee you though. Hey, I used to spray my legs with that in high school.
Yeah, but
it
like
was hot.
That compared to the soap bomb?
I was Twilight before Twilight.
But I feel like that's going to more destroy
the
earth. The bath bomb seems to help that.
I actually think I should try a bath bomb. I have one
that's
have.
That's what the beautiful people do.
I have like
TNA.
The wicked whatever witch one, and then but I don't. That one doesn't have sparkles in it, but it's like more herbal essence or whatever. Anyway, but
I guess the one things we heard, yeah, like they showed the lizard. From the Spider-Man movie.
What, they did?
Yeah.
See, I didn't hear that.
They showed a scene from that. What else did I hear? The CM Punk thing? That was the one thing
CM
that got
Punk.
Me. That, because that felt
that
like
to
a
me
happening.
Was like the biggest news.
That was, to me, yeah, because I mean, we've been following it already. I mean, it's like,
it's probably
yeah.
not, the people don't, other people probably don't care, but
because
we
when
do.
When we saw CM Punk walking in the crowd, he just looked like anybody unless.
Yeah.
But also, if he whipped out the belt, even when he whipped out the belt, people were just like, oh, it's another belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was another big news. Yeah, they showed like the Avengers stuff. I think Joss Whedon have a panel. I don't know.
The one thing I did hear, anything huge this year, like mind blowing.
From what I did hear though, from Trickster, I heard like the most news from Trickster from Mike Allred performing over there. Like they set up like a, just like another like their own venue to showcase.
Like right outside.
Yeah,
San Diego.
And, like I thought that was really cool because that's the first thing I thought about was like, wow, it's not just a convention, but it's just like an Olympics.
It's
how
kind
it's
of
this
like,
whole town.
It's
now.
Like the indie. It was like the indie comics area.
Yeah, but like now it's like a venue too.
Yeah.
Because like Mike Allred and the Gears, they played music. I was like, cool, they get to mix all that and you get to see that. I'd like to be like to see if we get a part of that because that seems like a cool thing.
Are they gonna come to New York?
They probably will. Maybe.
So what else happened there?
I didn't
keep in touch with it as much as you did.
Here's the thing about New York compared to San Diego. I felt like with San Diego, like you probably have like all this area, right? Like around the convention center,
yeah,
to like you know make up other venues. But with New York, like the Javits Center, you're literally just down near the docks, not near the docks, but you're like down near the tunnel. And then I mean, like what else can you take over?
Guess you gotta go more towards Times Square.
Yeah, like but like I feel like that's gonna be a bigger hassle and stuff like
not,
that.
Not that much of a hassle because Times Square is like very walkable.
But what I'm saying is that's the thing with San Diego. Like you have that option of going outside and being like, oh, cool. Like Olivia Munn does her meetups outside, like the venue.
Yeah.
But then with New York, you're sort of hit right into like that, just cars.
Yeah.
Just swirling. So there's like a big difference there, which is also pretty cool because you can just walk up the block and like, oh shit, it's Times Square.
But also, it's like. Probably to reserve places at Times Square probably costs a lot too. It's not like you can just walk in and be like, hey.
So those would be those differences. That I am completely looking forward to New York Comic Con. It's gonna be like the best show ever. Yeah, but like that's about it out of San Diego Comic Con that I've. The Eisners was cool to see Smile and then Darwin Cook, like win and
for sure.
And I just had a lot of winners that I really enjoyed. Even Day Tripper with Gabriel Ba and Fabio Moon, them winning, was awesome. Day Tripper was such a good book. I'm happy they won.
Are they still continuing to make it?
No, that's it. It's done. There's a miniseries, I believe. I don't know how they could continue the story as far as...
See, I only read the first four issues.
Well, they still got two more, right? Or they still got more, like a whole like 12 or something.
So I got more to read.
I think you got more to read. It's really good. I felt like a really beautiful book. And I met those guys at last year's New York Comic Con. And the first thing that happened was like, I was like, hey, Fabio? And he's like, no, I'm Gabriel. I'm like, you're fucking twins. How am I supposed to know, man?
They look different, though.
Yeah, but like, they probably, for me first meeting them.
Also, like, I would actually feel impressed if you didn't know, because it's like, good, finally not a stalker or something.
But like, also, like, it's like, what was hilarious was that, like, so they're standing next to their name tags, like, signing.
Uh-huh.
But they're switched. they're on the other sides. I don't know if they're, but like, either way, conventions are fun. That's what it's all about.
We need to get Rob Pattinson be at our booth.
Rob Pattinson. How long do you think Rob Pattinson's going to be a star?
I don't know, man, but I hope it's longer than the other dude.
Because I know that...
Who's the other dude? Taylor?
Taylor Lautner. I think Taylor Lautner's... Once this is done, he's done.
I mean, I'd be surprised if he continues on. Like, he might be, like, a male model or something continuing, but I feel like there's more hope with Rob Pattinson. Because I do want to see that circus movie, The Elephant. What was that called? Water for Elephants?
Yeah.
It was like him and Reese Witherspoon. I do want to see that.
He has more crossover potential.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'd rather see him on
Taylor Lautner is basically done at this point.
I think Taylor Lautner, like, but he's done. I think it's cool, like, to hear the story that he earned, like, you know, he got in his own shape.
Yeah.
Apparently, originally, he was just, like, some scrawny kid.
And they were going to recast him?
And they were going to recast him, but then he, like, boned up and, you know, got all, like, hardcore muscular and
basically
stuff.
Got into the part that he was supposed to be.
And so, like, now he's all, like, the hotness or whatever. But I personally, you know, I'm not saying he's ugly by any means, but I'm just more of a Team Edward type.
I mean, he wasn't ugly to get with. He was just playing a nerd character.
Well, I don't know how he looked before his muscles, but I just know that he's known for taking off his shirt.
Well, either way, he looks like a chipmunk.
He kind of does. But
either
I mean,
way,
like,
he still
I can see how,
he looks like
I can
a tan
see how
chipmunk.
Girls like him. I can see how girls like him.
I can see why girls like anything. I can see why girls like salad. I can see why girls. I can see why girls would like.
See, but like
Triple
even
H,
even
you know?
Like growing up though,
girls
like I was
everything.
Not the
girls
type
like
of girl
everything.
That like
it's
like
marketing.
I was not the type of girl that likes guys taking off their shirt. Like for some, I'm not against guys taking off their shirt. But even like growing up, like I always just saw like the beefcake guys, and I was always just like, he just takes off his shirt. Like I need to have more in a man than just that.
Hey, so are you still having the contest on the curls webcomic right now? It's still going on, right? Tell people about the contest before you close out the doors.
Okay, well, go to curls-studio.com/curls, and you'll see the latest Curls comic strip. And if you can name who the dark, mystifying creature is, and I'll give you all the info online. If you can name who he is and check it out in the blog for a hint, then you'll win a Curls Studio prize pack, including comics and a Curls patch and a lot of other cool Curls stuff that I can send you.
There you go. So you're going to get this fabulous Curls package. Curls package of fun. Maybe it's a Curls box of fun.
Box of fun.
And there you go,
Liz. Curls-studio.com.
That's right, curls-studio.com. The show is brought to you by straightproductions.com. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for listening to the show. I hope you all had a good time. Maybe we'll see you this weekend. Maybe we'll see you at any other convention.
I hope to see you at a convention sometime this year.
So there you go. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy Comic-Con.
Happy Comic-Con. See you later, Carolyn.
See ya.
Stay positive, people.